It's a pleasure to be with you once again. Have the opportunity of just for a few moments studying our and taking our thoughts and looking at the Word of God again and being able to study some things that I hope would be helpful for us. It's good to be with us. Always good to be able to get together with people who love the Lord, love the church, and be able to sing some songs, be able to study the Word of God, be able to go to God in prayer. It's just a blessing to be with any group of people that wants to do that. I was thinking this morning as I did the lesson on Hebrews 11, verse 7, talking about Noah, that really it backs us up into another study that's very fundamental in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it's just the idea about faith. And it kind of branches out from there. And I thought, well, we'll just look at that for a little while. I kind of had some thoughts that we wanted to talk about. I use the English Standard Version here. I kind of like that one a little better. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things not seen. Well, he's talking about faith there, isn't he? He just tells us this is what faith is. Maybe not so much what faith does, but it may be involved, but mainly the idea is what faith is. And he said faith is the assurance and the conviction. And that's wonderful, just to think about having that type of a belief and a being convinced of things. A conviction and an assurance is so very helpful. I thought I would talk about faith for a little while this evening. The words that we use have so many meanings so many times in our English language. English is very complicated language because we don't parse and decline our nouns and conjugate our verbs the way other languages do. And so we can just throw some words out and we hope that people can understand us. And as a result, the very same word can mean a lot of different things, not just by definition, but the way it is used. And it's like that in the Bible. And like, for example, look with me over into Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1. Look at a different word, Galatians 6 and verse 1, when he makes the statement, he said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Look at the word spirit there. If a person is overtaken in the trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. What's the word spirit mean there? Well, the way we use it, and in English we use the word any way we want to. It's about the way it walks out. But we use the word spirit there, that is an attitude. That's all it is. Restore someone in the spirit of gentleness. It's an attitude, and it's used that way many times. Sometimes, look with me back in James, the second chapter, we read verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." And then we kind of get a little closer to what we're talking about there, but still I just want to kind of use some examples like spirit. He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead." We're talking about man's spirit there. The body without man's spirit in it. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about, and he's using the very same word. And then sometimes, like spirit, John the third chapter, and we look at verse 8. Yeah, John 3 and verse 8. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he says, "The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit." Strange thing about here is that the word wind, as you see there in the first part, the wind blows where it wishes. The word wind and the word spirit are exactly the same word in the Greek, pneuma. And it gets down to how the translators translate those two exact words. But just looking at the sentence, you see how it's used. And that's the point so many times about the way we use things and how we use words and how we have to be mindful of that. And we do the same thing when we talk about faith. Faith, the word faith can be used in many, many different ways. There's different aspects to the idea of faith. And I just want to just talk with you about some things that I think it's almost always helpful that whether you're talking about the word spirit or whether you talk about the word faith or the word body, or there's just a lot of different things. You got to stop and look at the context. You got to look at the verse. You got to look at the sentence. And like I said, in other languages, it's not that difficult, but for English, it is. There are degrees, there are kinds, there are purposes, there's aspects, just when you see the word faith. And sometimes that throws people off in what they're trying to do. And so one of them would be that faith can be objective or subjective in the way that it is used. Galatians, go back to Galatians with me. Galatians 1 and let's see, verse 23. I guess you can back up to verse 22. Galatians 1, verse 22. I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, verse 23. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Just the way it's written there, the faith. Not a faith or some faith, but the faith. And it says that they hear that he is preaching the faith. He's talking about an objective source of information, something that's outside of us, an object that we can look at. It's not something of emotions. It's not something of feelings, but it is a standard. It's a measure. And this is what Paul is preaching, the faith. And that's important to pick that up, because so many times faith is not faith and spirit is not spirit in the way we might be thinking of it. And it's very important we would understand that some things are important to us as being outside us, but some things are important to us that's right up here in our head. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. We look down. Paul tells the brethren there in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. He is saying, hold on to something. Have something in your heart and mind here that every one of you have, and that you're to hold on to that. And this becomes something you see throughout the Bible, or in this, especially the New Testament, that there's an objective sense of our faith in Jesus Christ. Like in 2 Corinthians 13, he says in verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be where. In the faith. Because everybody's got a lot of faith. Everybody's got a lot of beliefs. Everybody has different ideas. But Paul is talking about examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And Jesus, Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus says objective faith never fails. Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 35. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What we call the objective faith, something that's right here. It's 2,000 years old. We can read it. It's the same yesterday. It'll be the same tomorrow. We can study it. Maybe we might look at something different, or maybe we were mistaken about it. But by studying this and comparing the ideas, we can come to a knowledge of the faith. On the other hand, faith sometimes can be subjective. It can be right up there, and every one of us have one. We've just got to recognize where it is and how do. Go back to Galatians again. Galatians 2 and verse 20, that great passage that Paul makes the statement. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by not the faith. He'd probably say that. But he said, my life is defined by right up here. I have a purpose of mine. I have a goal I'm trying to achieve. I have a standard by which I live. And you might be able to understand Paul's wording there and the use of faith to describe his faith. My life is lived by faith. But he's talking about what's going on here in his mind. And you might say, well, he has the faith in mind. Probably you could agree with that. But he's talking about the idea, this is how I conduct myself according to the faith. And this is my faith, my convictions. Back in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, the second chapter in verse 2. Behold, the proud, his soul is not lift up in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's how we approach God. We approach God according to his standard here. And I'm convinced of it. I'm going to live by it. And it describes me in my life, how I'm going to talk to the Lord, how I'm going to speak to the Lord, how I'm going to think about him. Look in Colossians with me. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and look with me at verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. There comes a point where we take the faith, the gospel, and we make it a part of our thinking. It's the way we look at life. It's the way we relate to our friends and neighbors and loved ones. But it's right up here with me. And if I'm not careful, it could change. This is not ever going to change. This is the objective faith. This is the standard. And we need to keep that in mind sometimes, because the subjective faith or the subjective side of it can indeed change if we're not careful. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. And we look down at verse, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 17 and 18. He's talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus here. He says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they do what? They overthrow the faith of some. What faith did they overthrow? What's going on up here in the individual's heart and mind? And maybe the conviction may not be as it should be in some questions and some issues, and maybe it's strong in others, but our subjective faith can be overwhelmed if we're not careful. That's why we need to be students of the Word of God, that we continually go to the Word of God and check ourselves and our own convictions. Look back in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and that's where Paul's talking about when I was with you in weakness and trembling. Yeah, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's concerned about their faith. Paul's preaching the gospel here, and he's not going to change the gospel. But he knows if people are not careful, they begin to change their ideas and their thinking and what have you. So one of the first, and this is not just faith. There's so many words we have to think about how they're used, and sometimes, especially in English, they can become tricky for us. Faith can be Faith can be weak, or it can be strong, like over in Romans 14. You're familiar with that one. Over there, about a brother who is weak in the faith. Romans 14, verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Well, who would be somebody who's weak in the faith? Well, it could be anybody. It may be somebody who's just learning, or somebody who has questions or doubt, or maybe there's some issues in their life. Look with me over in Acts, the 16th chapter. The opposite that Paul was wanting of them, Acts 16. And let's see, verse 3, Acts 16, verse 3. Paul wanted to have him to go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And we continue on down into verse 5. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, so that the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Strengthened in the faith. There can be situations where faith can be weak or faith can be strong, and that can be under several different issues, right? Like we have the adding to your faith, all of the things that Peter would have us to make part of our life. 2 Peter, the first chapter and verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. He says, I want your faith to grow. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Things of that nature. What we understand and appreciate is what's going up here in our own thinking, the way we look at life and the way we deal with our situation and circumstances. And everybody's is different. The way I face the world, the way I relate to the world, should be something that would cause me to reexamine my conviction and my faith in the Lord. Am I following the Lord? Am I walking the straight and narrow path? Or am I beginning to wander over here and believe whatever and do whatever and go wherever? And that's important. And we were talking about it this morning over in 2 Peter, the third chapter, the very last verse that Peter wrote. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. Grow. Grow in that grace. That's about faith. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord. That's about the faith. And he's telling them to grow in that by which our faith can be made strong and stronger. So it becomes important. We think about how do I conduct myself? How am I relating to other Christians and brethren as we try to do the work of the Lord? And it gets back so many times about what I'm thinking, what I'm upset about, or what gives me hope. And to recognize our faith is not exactly what's written right here. I got to learn this. I got to know this and apply this to my life and mold my life and my thinking to this. And sometimes it may take time to do that. There's an interesting part, and almost always comes up when you talk about this. Sometimes faith can be a miraculous gift. And over in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter. Remember over there where he's talking about the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12. And this can get you into a lot of those questions about the gifts that he's talking about there. He says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. He said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and you get into a study of it, you're not just talking about what the Holy Spirit can do or what the God the Father can do, you also have to recognize there are diversities and differences and diversities within all of the works of the Lord. But coming with verse 7 now. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith. And he's talking here about miraculous gifts. And we don't understand everything about these miraculous gifts. I don't understand how somebody could have a miraculous measure of knowledge and a miraculous measure of wisdom, and how that's not, if it's miraculous, why it's not almost synonymous. But it says that. It says the Spirit gives to some a word of knowledge, to some a word of the Spirit. But in verse 9 it says to another, faith. Faith was one of the gifts given to the children or the early church. Not the children of God. Well, I guess they might have gotten it earlier on. Look back with me back in Matthew, the 17th chapter. Back in Matthew 17, not just the transformation of Jesus and the transfiguration of Jesus, but after that, in the 17th chapter, you come down to about, there's a situation with one of the apostles or disciples. There was a person who, like verse 14, and when he had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he's epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often in the water. So I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus rebukes them all. Verse 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Well, that's the 17th chapter. Back up to the 16th chapter, which you all know very well, because at the very moment this all happened, in the 16th chapter, you recall that you'll say that when he asks, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Their belief was in Jesus and that he was the Son of God. And at the very moment, and I guess also add some more context to it, back in the 10th chapter, do you recall in the 10th chapter, in the first few verses there, he calls his disciples together, 12 of them, and he gives them power, it says in verse 1, over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and kinds of diseases. So at the time they failed to cure this man's son, they had a faith just like you and I do today about who Jesus is and what Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he had also given them power back in Matthew, the 10th chapter. But something happened that they didn't have a trust in what he was saying, and he rebukes them. And he just tells them, because of your unbelief. And they had a lot of problems with this, and it was the growing with it. But I just suggest this because sometimes you get into a discussion on the ideas of faith, and somebody wants to say faith sometimes can be built up to where it can perform a miracle, because we can read over in Matthew 17, well, I think that's true in one sense, if you got the right kind of faith. But this was a faith that was given to them. It was part of what we read in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It was a direct gift. And people could have the very common faith that you and I could have today, but still not at that same time be able to exercise that gift. There was certainly some other things involved. We read for you 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where he just simply says, one of those gifts, among a whole long list of gifts there, one of those gifts was faith. But he's writing to the Corinthians, and when you read in Acts, the 18th chapter, you find out we got the same situation again over there with the Corinthians. Acts, the 18th chapter, he's in Corinth. And you read down at verse 8. Acts, the 18th chapter, verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, just like us. But when he has to explain to them in his letter to the Corinthians, he's just recognizing there were gifts of the Holy Spirit that were not for everybody and it wasn't for all time. And there's some interesting questions there, but a lot of times we need to understand, and there is a difference. Words are used, the same words can be used differently. And the context is so very important. Jesus gave power to the disciples to work miracles. And it was for a certain reason. But they had a common faith, just like you and I do. Like we read in Matthew 16:16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There were things about those miracles that had to be done in a certain way. But sometimes a word can be used differently and it can be confusing. But let me end our study. Faith that saves obeys. And that gets back to just the fundamental meaning of the word faith. Belief in, conviction of. Like John 8:24, you know, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But the gospel faith is not just F-A-I-T-H. When you read the rest of it, you recognize that faith is a very wide, broad idea. And we've talked about that before. Unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. Luke 13:3. Unless you repent, you shall all what? You'll all likewise perish. So certainly included in that is the idea of repentance. Or the idea of Matthew 10, verse 32. Unless you confess me before mankind, I'll not what? Confess you before my Father. I mean, we can't just say, well, I have a faith in Christ, but I'm not going to confess it. I'll get fired or something like that. Well, that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying faith is something that guides your life. It involves your whole life. He says in John 3, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you walk in the light as he is in the light. You can't have fellowship with the Lord. You won't have the remission of sins. Faith can be general. Our faith can be very particular. Go back with me, Galatians. Galatians, the third chapter. Over there in Galatians, he's trying to show them the faith of Abraham and that to encourage them to be people of faith like Abraham. But in Galatians 3, verse 6, it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, don't just take that word. He believed God and that's it. And he was a righteous person. Just remembering the whole life of Abraham. Like we could go over to Hebrews 11 and talks about Abraham, that he went out not knowing where he was going by faith. That's what he did. It moves us. It obeys. It follows. It develops. It has to be part of that, which describes our life. And right there in Galatians 3 and verse 6, it talks about Abraham believing God. And then later on in verse 26 of the same chapter, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for... That is to explain further. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And just taking the word faith and say it means belief. It's a lot broader than that. It is a belief and conviction that allows us to change our lives. And so when we get over to the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we read verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Faith alone don't fit in there. We have to understand words in their context. We have to understand verses in their context. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you just got to back away from it and just look at it for for a while and think about it and start putting ideas together. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to think about it, reflect upon it, peruse it, look at it, reflect upon it, grow with it. He wants us to be this kind of people. Every person of faith in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, was a person with an obedient faith. It was that kind of faith, not what we hear so much about today. Like Jesus just simply said in Matthew 11, he just said, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. That's the idea. But that's enough for tonight. Appreciate you coming this evening, and I hope the study for just a little while has been helpful. And there are some other points we could talk about with regard to the idea of faith or the ideas of just maybe one word used someplace like holy. You run that one, and that's an amazing study itself. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. You need to be identified with the Lord, and the way you do that is to have the faith that's strong enough to repent of your sins, turn, and start toward Him. Have a courage that you're willing to confess Him before mankind, confessing that conviction you have, and then being buried with Him in water to be raised to walk in newness of life, and then walk with Him in life. If you have that conviction this evening, we'd be more than happy to assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?